Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Mr. Chris Hutton. Let's get into our first news story of today, and this is just something that caught my eye. One of our colleagues shared it from social media, and it was the videos showing off the preparations for the Tshwane State of the City address. It seems now that because municipalities have decided that they are going to kind of follow in the footsteps of the State of the Nation address and kind of copy the ceremonies that the State of the Nation address has around them. This involved a tweet from the City of Tshwane's social media account saying, and I'll just read it here, the boss lady, and then a link to the mayor, Dr. Moya, who is an Action SA councillor, has arrived. Hashtag Tshwane State of the City Address 2025, our capital, our pride. The video attached is footage of the sort of procession leading into the arrival of the mayor, which has people on horseback holding the flag of the city, masses of motorbikes driving slowly behind with police officers on them, fire service trucks and rescue vehicles in a sort of procession afterwards. And you know, Chris, Tshwane is not in as bad a state, I think, as the city of Johannesburg. Tshwane is, however, still not in a good place as a municipality. And if everything was going well, I would say, you know what, I wouldn't spend government money like this, but I can see how people can get a bit of a good feeling from seeing public resources spent on something a little bit flashy every now and again. But we're not in that place. Why is the mayor of Tshwane having an entrance like an empress to a freaking meeting of the city council? This seems, you know, it's not, I suspect that there probably was some money that was spent on this that was too much. But in the grand scheme of things, it's probably not that much money. But Chris, what possible justification could there be for this? And also, you know, what does this say about the headspace that the mayor of Tshwane seems to be in?
Nick, I know your levels of frustration based on when you start a question with, you know, Chris, or you know, this person, when you insert their name. I think it's a bit of a tell on your part. I don't know if it's leading the witness directly, but there is an element of that. But in any case, I very much take your point around spending priorities and sort of pomp and circumstance and when that is appropriate or not. I mean, I think most of us enjoy seeing that kind of thing, but it has to be in the right sort of context. So if Tshwane was one of the best performing metros in the country, if it was in some aspects performing better than Cape Town, which is consistently the best performing metro across various metrics, then I think that the pomp and circumstance of this sort of thing wouldn't feel as hollow or as forced as it does in this case. And I think that maybe gets to the heart of this particular matter, where when you try and make such a show of things and use what limited resources you have for this kind of thing, it's almost like you're trying to distract from or point attention away from deeper underlying issues that afflict your particular city and your particular metro from a governance, from a finance, from an expenditure point of view. So this sort of thing, it points to me to an indication of management that is trying to find some ways to make things look better than they really are. I want to afford people in those positions of city management these opportunities. I mean, to let their hair down, to enjoy their achievements, all that sort of thing. If this was now on the back of massively improving revenue collection and bringing down wasteful expenditure and making sure that, you know, potholes are fixed, lights are fixed, that bulk water infrastructure has been fixed, then I think the citizens almost would throw a sort of ceremony like this for the city management, right? It wouldn't be a case of the city management throwing the ceremony for themselves. So there's a few of these things on the go right now, and I think we see this in this particular instance.
What also really sort of irritates me is how this is quite anti-Republican. So by that, I mean, you know, I look, me personally, one of my most eccentric views is I have a soft spot for aristocracy and nobles and royal families and all that kind of thing. But South Africa is a republic, and these are elected representatives of the people. And this is not even, you know, the head of state. This is someone who is not elected directly by the people. They're not really the face of you know, the city of Tshwane. They were, you know, elevated to this position because of agreements in council between the ANC, Action SA, and other parties. And yet there's a sort of monarchical ceremony welcoming them in to, you know, give the speech to their subjects. It's just completely the wrong self-aggrandizing spectacle. And it sets the wrong tone for what the relationship of a mayor in particular should be with the residents of their city, which is one where, you know, they should be a public servant first and foremost, and not representing the city on the international stage too much. This is not a thing that cities do. That's for presidents. That's for ministers and national government. You are supposed to just do the basics, get the water and the electricity running, make sure the roads are working nicely, clean up things, do the basics, not, you know, praise yourself as some sort of empress. Anyway, I thought this was so weird and wrong-headed. We needed to talk about it first.
Nick, just before we move on, just one saying that jumps to mind for this sort of thing is that idea of you should treat normal people like superstars.
We've lost you there, Chris.
So, Nick, maybe just the last thought that comes to mind here is the saying around how you should treat people, how you want to be treated as how you treat others. So the idea here is that you treat normal people like superstars and you treat superstars like normal people. And if this particular ceremony, if they had, for example, had municipal workers, waste removal workers or engineers or anything like that, given this sort of pomp and circumstance, I think arguably I would say spend even more money on them because they're on the front lines having to do a lot of this work. But I think it does indicate, it's an important indication just of attitude on the part of the city manager.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, let's move on to something a little bit more positive, or at least potentially more positive. And this is that the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation has signed a memorandum of understanding with the Chinese National Nuclear Corporation to work together on several aspects of nuclear energy, particularly small modular reactors, which South Africa hopes it can add to its energy generation mix going forward as a not only cleaner source of electricity, but also one that is more reliable. Chris, to me, this seems like something that is a positive step, at least in theory. The devil is very much in the details on these kind of agreements. This deal needs to be not too expensive. It needs to be done correctly. It needs to not just be a boondoggle for you know, corruption and overspending and waste and all those kind of things. But I do think that South Africa should invest more in nuclear power. I mean, after all, Kooburg Power Station is, I believe, still the country's most reliable power plant. And there's a lot of good reasons to be pursuing nuclear power, particularly as our main trading partners in places like the EU are increasingly anti-carbon and coal. Moving to something cleaner like nuclear might make relations with those countries easier. What do you make of this?
I think all caveats and warnings observed. This sort of thing is very exciting on the surface and does hopefully open up more avenues for technology sharing, for skills development, for building South Africa's own capacity in this regard. It should not be sold as an immediate solution to South Africa's ongoing energy constraints, or should be sold as, you know, this is just perfect. So let's just go along with any nuclear deal with any country. Whatever form it might take, whether it's small modular, whether it's similar to Kooburg, whatever, take your pick, needs to be assessed on its own merits in terms of costing, in terms of feasibility. What would be the terms if this proceeds past a memorandum of understanding, if it goes to any sort of real project, like, you know, sinking capital into the ground and actually developing something tangible in terms of a hard asset in South Africa? What are the terms for that? Is that process open and competitive? Who's involved? If there are competing bids from other countries, why is one chosen over another? All those sorts of things, I think, should rightly be questioned, given South Africa's not too recent history of things like state capture, etc. But I think there should be credit given here to the Department of Energy and to the government. I know it is very difficult often to do that, but just in terms of being willing to talk about something other than renewable energy in a serious manner, I think that is, to me, a good indication that there is at least some realism around you. You can't get South Africa's economy to renewable energy overnight. You shouldn't, because it isn't as reliable as things like coal and nuclear. And why not explore, at least on a theoretical level, some of these possibilities?
All right, and in what is perhaps the most exciting team up since the Batman and Joker worked together in a comic series somewhere, the DA and the EFF are teaming up to fight VAT in court. The DA launched a legal action led by Helen Ziller to set aside the passing of the VAT increase through Parliament on procedural grounds. And now this legal action has been joined by the EFF, who said the party had taken this step because Parliament could not continue to, quote, operate as a rubber stamp of the executive. The court application is necessary and a principled intervention to protect the democratic character of Parliament and to ensure the process that determine the use of public resources are not reduced to unlawful and illegal processes by the ruling party. So the DA's case, from the reporting I've read on it, is about they believe that the adoption of the fiscal framework, which is the thing that ActionSA say voted with the ANC and all of the other non-DA and non-Freedom Front Plus GNU partners to pass through Parliament, was unlawfully adopted because the committees did not never voted on the final version of the report. They just went through it clause by clause. The report has contradictory statements in it that it says that the committees accept the fiscal framework and also recommending that the VAT hike be removed, which is contradictory. And the third one is that the adoption of it is a product of a material error of law, because the DA says that ActionSA thought they were voting to remove the VAT increase and therefore were not voting for it, you know, sort of honestly, in the sense that it was, you know, they had the wrong end of the stick. So I have no idea the legal chances of success, but, you know, there's been a lot of speculation, Chris, that the ANC could turn to the EFF to make an alternative deal to replace the DA and the GNU and get a more stable coalition going. But it looks like, at least for now, the EFF is not willing to be on board and, in fact, is joining the DA in fighting against VAT. What do you make of this?
This could be me trying to play too much 4D chess or assigning those capacities to, especially the leadership of the EFF. But I do think for the EFF longer term, they do prefer more tensions between the ANC and the DA specifically. So if they can drive this wedge issue to eventually lead to the DA leaving the GNU formally, that opens up the space, in my view, to things like a motion of no confidence in President Ramaphosa and a more amenable ANC for the EFF to then come in. So I wonder if there isn't some of that long-term thinking at play here. I hope this is also driven by principle, you know, principled stance, of course, and the strong disagreement from the EFF side on the VAT increase. I must say a number of their representatives have been very good in their critique of this budget process and just highlighting, especially around the fiscal framework and the role of the committee that voted last week, why you can't make a recommendation and then later on come back and say, no, but the whole thing must be changed. It must be an amendment that is then taken on board to the whole budget and to the fiscal framework. So there's maybe elements of principle here, disagreement with the VAT increase and the fiscal framework, but also longer term sort of attempted planning or strategy. The main thing here that for me came to mind, which shows you my level of analysis as well, when I saw this at first, was the meme or the idea from The Lord of the Rings when Gimli begrudgingly decides to fight side by side with Legolas. So I think we've reached that point in South African politics.
Yes. Now, I think the EFF strategically here does definitely see some opportunity to revitalize the party's image, as you know, they describe themselves as a pro-poor party. Now, I believe that their policies are not, in fact, pro-poor, but that is their sort of image that they like to project. And that fighting the VAT increase may very well be a way for the EFF to reverse some of its recent declines in kind of attention and its fortunes, it seems, in the polling. All right, that is all the time we have for today. We hope you found this show interesting, and we will be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Show. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.